I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Headlines for Iraq today? They could have been written a few years ago. An assault on Fallujah is delayed because of fears about civilian casualties. Or an airstrike in Ramadi reportedly kills 25 al-Qaeda insurgents. The difference is that now U.S. troops are not involved. Those headlines I just recapped describe the battle that's raging right now in Iraq's western Anbar province between the Shiite-dominated Iraqi government and insurgents in the majority Sunni region. The BBC's Rafid Jabouri is in Baghdad. He says the current fighting stems from a long-running power struggle between Iraq's Shiite and Sunni politicians.
Although this country is governed by a power-sharing agreement, a government of national unity where Sunnis are actually represented in power, but they're complaining that they don't have a say over security affairs and accuse Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki of leading the armed forces alone and discriminating against them. Of course, the Shia would say something different, the Shia majority in this country. There is actually, I have to say, an overwhelming support for the army's operation in western Iraq among the Shia.
Right. So the local residents there, who are they siding with, the Iraqi government or al-Qaeda insurgents?
Again, we are talking about a Sunni population, a Sunni community of Iraq. In general, they opposed the government of Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki. In general, they supported the protest movement that started in 2012, influenced by what happened across the Middle East region, where we saw regimes being toppled by mass protests. However, many of them were scared to see the al-Qaeda militants taking control of two major cities in their province last week. That's when some key tribal leaders decided to fight al-Qaeda, not the Iraqi government.
Right. So some people fighting al-Qaeda, some people fighting the government. And on top of that, I'm hearing a lot of Fallujah residents are fleeing in fear of a government onslaught to take the city back. I mean, it sounds completely chaotic.
It is chaotic. We believe that there is an imminent offensive to retake al-Qaeda. Just yesterday, the Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki made a plea to the residents of Fallujah to drive al-Qaeda out in order to avoid a major offensive to retake the city. So far, we haven't seen any positive response to that. Again, this is the city, the Fallujah we're talking about here, a very tribal community with conservative traditions and with many officers in the former Iraqi army of the former President Saddam Hussein with anti-government sentiments.
Fallujah, I'm sure you can't forget, was nearly destroyed during the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Fierce battles there. Have the residents rebuilt the city? I mean, was there a sense, has there been a sense of renewed hope there?
When I visited Fallujah last time, last year, there were, of course, signs of the fighting that took place in 2004, some of the most intense fighting that the U.S. forces had since Vietnam. But there were also some reconstruction and, I have to say, even some hope for a better future with the stability that followed. But again, the Battle of Fallujah in 2004 made actually a scar in the collective memory of the population. You know, if you compare them, for example, to neighboring Ramadi, which also fell into a significant part of it fell to the hands of al-Qaeda, Fallujah looks even more extremist, more radical in terms of dealing with the Shia-led government. While in Ramadi, the Shia-led government of Prime Minister Maliki found some allies in the tribes who decided to fight al-Qaeda. Nothing like that is happening in Fallujah so far.
The BBC's Rafid Jabouri in Baghdad. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Pete Mansour is pretty familiar with Fallujah and Anbar province. Mansour is a soldier, and not just any soldier. He helped shape the counterinsurgency strategy that turned the Iraq War around for the U.S. He was founding director of the U.S. Army Marine Corps Counterinsurgency Center at Fort Leavenworth. And Mansour went on to put his theories to the test as executive officer to General David Petraeus during the surge in 2007. He has a new book out called Surge, and I asked him what he made of the latest wave of violence in Iraq.
It's very disappointing to someone who spent 28 months of his life in Iraq, watched a couple dozen of my soldiers get killed and all the blood and treasure expended. You know, it's deeply, deeply disappointing that Al-Anbar and other portions of Iraq have spiraled downward the way they have in recent months.
Do you point the finger at anybody in particular or any kind of mistake made along the way for what's happening now?
Primarily, this is the fault of a sectarian prime minister, but also the fault of an administration in Washington that didn't really want to remain engaged in Iraq.
I'm sure you've seen the polls. I mean, most Americans are pretty happy to be disengaged from Iraq. But I'm just wondering, I mean, as a veteran, do you feel the sacrifices of your comrades was in vain?
Not perhaps in vain, because I'm not sure that al-Qaeda is going to succeed in what they're doing right now. But I have a different view. I realize that Americans wanted to be done with the war, but I really think that had we remained engaged, both with a reduced amount of military forces and more politically engaged as well, that we could have prevented this sort of backsliding from taking place.
I don't suppose you would support going back and kind of finishing things up at this point.
No, I think at this point that's water under the bridge. You know, it's a no-go-back game. It's not like Monopoly where you can return to go and collect $200 and move on. At this point, we're going to have to do the best we can without U.S. forces on the ground.
We're just hearing today that the Iraqi government says 25 al-Qaeda militants have been killed in Anbar. Do you think Nouri al-Maliki is now taking things under control and doing what needs to be done?
Well, he's trying. But, you know, as I show in my book, what turned Anbar province around and Iraq in general was far more than just targeted operations to kill and capture insurgents, which it seems that's all he's doing right now.
So you're saying that the Iraqi government right now is more reactive than proactive?
Very reactive, and they've turned away some of the tribes that were such a significant part of the turnaround in Anbar in 2006 and 2007 and beyond. The Abu Risha clan, for instance, the initial tribe that allied with U.S. forces in Ramadi, it's been sidelined by the government. I think this is the wrong way to go about it. These are people that he's going to need on his side.
I mean, the Iraqi government does have support of one of the biggest tribes in the area, don't they?
Yeah, the Dahlemi Confederation, and it's certainly an important one. But again, you want all of them on your side if you can, and it doesn't make any sense to alienate any of them if you can help it.
How do you even go about approaching a tribe? I mean, who do you call?
Well, first you have to figure out who are the tribal sheikhs, who are the leaders, and you do a cultural reconnaissance. You go and start talking to people. You know, the folks on the ground understand who the movers and shakers are, and you quickly can figure it out.
How do you actually win influence over tribes? I mean, whether you're an outsider from the capital, Iraqi outsiders or American outsiders?
Well, General Petraeus used to like to say that Iraqi tribes are like reruns of The Sopranos. They all have a construction company, a trucking company, and an import-export business. And you win support by giving them things and by making deals. You know, it's business to them. We won support by giving them reconstruction contracts, by training their young men to become policemen. And it was a quid pro quo. In return, they gave us intelligence and offered security services in their neighborhoods. So it's not that hard. It's just common business dealings. It just happens that the business includes war fighting.
So back to the big picture. I mean, if you lay some of the blame for this uprising on Obama's desk, I mean, what should the U.S. be doing about it?
Well, at this point, we have to work with Maliki and try to moderate his sectarian political behavior. That is much easier said than done, because we've lost a lot of our leverage in Iraq by the withdrawal of our troops. But we still have a lot of leverage.
Pete Mansour, the author of a new book called Surge, My Journey with General David Petraeus and the Remaking of the Iraq War. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.